This portion of the Bob Romanek Grim Reaper of Radio is brought to you by NAME, the National Association for Majority Equality, a national organization established to fight for and preserve equality for every American, regardless of race.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio. Here at KQQZ 1190 AM, we like to have fun. But on a very serious note, you have probably noticed the very unorthodox way that we operate this radio station. We do things quite differently, probably unlike any other radio station in the universe. In the radio world, dead airspace is the worst thing that could ever happen. But here at KQQZ 1190 AM, we think sometimes that dead airspace and silence is good. No, great, especially when it gives us time to remember our loved ones who have passed on before us. Too often, we are too busy to take a moment out of our hectic day to remember our loved ones. KQQZ will now have a minute of dead airspace, a minute of silence, if you will. So please, take this time to remember the loved ones that we will never forget. It will certainly make your day a whole lot better. If you don't appreciate the minute of silence to honor our loved ones that have passed on before us, or if you're offended by the silence, then please tune to another station. And after you've tuned to another station because of our silence, don't come back. Because our radio family here at KQQZ really don't want you as a listener. Now, KQQZ's Minute of Silence.
KQQZ 1190 AM sincerely thanks you for your patience and decency. Now, back to our regular scheduled programming.
Beware. Beware. This is a warning. The Grim Reaper of Radio, Bob Romanek, with his off-the-record show is about to air. He's probably the nastiest and craziest son of a bitch that you've ever had the misfortune to encounter. The Grim Reaper show will be very controversial and probably quite tasteless. If you are even slightly offended by controversial matter concerning religion, racial matters, politics, or life's problems, you are hereby warned to turn this program off immediately. The Grim Reaper show will be, like his face, very scary and very ugly. At this time, not proudly, but shamefully presents to you, Bob Romanek, the craziest son of a bitch on the radio today.
all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. Bad. Bad to the bone.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. To the dark side. This is Bob Romanek. We want to welcome you in on a kind of a dreary, gloomy Monday. Hopefully it'll get better. I don't know why everybody's bitching. It's going to rain when it rains, and it's not when it's not. So I will tell you today and every day, don't worry about it until it comes. When it comes, you can bitch all you want, but after it comes, it makes no difference because it's already here. Hey, we're going to start off today. Lines are always open in case I decide I want to get to some callers. Usually we let quite a few hanging, but lines are always open. We are America's Voice of Freedom, definitely the Patriots. You can call toll-free 1-888-394-1430. On the east side, 394-1190. I was looking around this weekend, and I see this NFL star, Cam Newton. Everybody remembers old Cam Newton, the good, and he is. One great quarterback, 6'5", the Carolina Panthers, 6'5", quarterback. He was going to from Paris back to New York, and he talked to this gentleman who had one of the nicer seats, and he offered the gentleman $1,500 to take his seat so Cam could have a little bit of leg room. And the encounter was caught on video. The Carolina Panthers superstar Newton apparently wanted the seat for extra legroom space, according to a Twitter user account. And when he spoke with the gentleman in the video, it is seen where the Newton is standing over an unidentified man while doing his best, it says, to negotiate the proffer, but to no avail. When the man appears to shoot the offer down, Newton smiles and walks back to his assigned seat just a couple rows back. Says Newton's base salary is $16 million. He apparently learned that money can't buy you everything. And I wanted to talk about that just momentarily because, you know, we're in this basketball craze now. We just got done with this hockey craze. Now, with this football, who hasn't even started yet, you know, they're still trying to throw money, trying to throw, their name, their reputation around, and it just pisses me off. I don't give a damn what kind of profession you're in. You know, you have to show respect to everybody. Now, I don't think it was disrespectful if Cam Newton wanted to offer this gentleman $1,500 to take his seat, but, when the gentleman said no, He didn't want to give up his seat for $1,500. I appreciate that Newton smiled at the man and smiled and walked back to his assigned seat a couple rows back. I can understand that, and I want to thank Cam Newton and any of the other ball players
who want to act like what they are. They're human beings first. They may be good ball players. They may be good tennis stars. They may be good at whatever they do. But at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We're all on this earth as long as we're on there. When it's time for us to go, we go. Somebody else either takes our place or comes after us and does the best they can do. But I just thought, you know, how appropriate was this that Cam Newton, and I'm not a big sports fan, especially not the NFL, but when Cam Newton offered this gentleman, who nobody still knows who he is, I don't guess, I don't think he wanted to have his name out there, when Cam Newton offered him $1,500 to have that seat for that that trip, that it was a 10-hour flight, so it's $150 an hour. That wouldn't have been too bad. I probably would have taken it, to be honest. But anyway, Cam Newton approached this gentleman. The gentleman says, no, thank you. So Cam said, okay, and I'm sure they had a few words. But when the man appeared to shoot the offer down, Camden smiled at him and walked back to his assigned seat just a couple rows back. And I think, if nothing else, that does better for Cam Newton than not, because somebody would have ended up saying, there's Cam Newton. He paid $1,500 so he wouldn't have to have his legs all crunched up during the flight from Paris back to New York. But so I want to thank him, and also want to thank the gentleman who said no thanks, because even though he's out $1,500, the gentleman knows at this point that money isn't everything, and I say to that, money isn't everything. So everybody, just remember that down the road, if you would. I want to kind of stay on the same sphere of things. The NBA commissioner says the league has moved away from the word owner. Adam Silver, he's the NBA basketball commissioner, said in an interview published Monday that the league has moved away from the term owners. This was published 3 hours ago. So he said the team has moved away from the term owner and say now they're referred to as governors. Now, for me, I don't understand why somebody that owns a team wants to be called anything other than the owner. Now, I don't know if the owners all said, hey, that's a good idea, but Silver was stopped in New York by TMZ and said he was sensitive to the term owner. TMZ reported earlier that a few NBA teams have dropped the term because of its racial component, and since most players in the league are black. Now, that's an understatement, because most players in the league are black, and where's the racial component to saying that I'm the owner of the team? I see nothing wrong with saying that they're the owner of the team. Now they're referred to as governors. Why would they want to be referred to as governors when they're the owners of the team? It says you shouldn't say owner, said Golden State Warrior forward Darren Green on a HBO last year. Silver pointed to the Green interview and said that he completely respected his opinion on the matter. He did say that some players took pride when Michael Jordan was able to call himself an owner, and said players have generally gone both ways on the issue. So I guess all the black superstars want the owners to be called governors. And I think all the white, the 95% white audience, the ones that pay the bills, they still want them to be called owners. So I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the day on that. But it said a quick glance at each of the team's staffs listed on their official website showed about 15 organizations do not list an owner. So I don't know what that has to do with anything. But apparently somebody made some kind of to-do about it, because some of the ball players, and I have to tell you, some of the ball players, meaning the black ball players, they're the ones that are taking a little bit of offense to it. And I can understand, I guess, if I'm black, saying, why the hell would you want to be called owners? Why don't you call yourself governor? So, but at the end of the day, what's going to probably happen if this catches on is all the baseball owners will no longer be called owners. Maybe they'll also be called governors. The basketball people will be called governors. Everybody down the road, there'll be no more owners of basketball, baseball, football, hockey teams. They'll all be governors of their teams. Now, everyone knows what the hell that's going to do for the sport. That's going to compromise the sport even more than it's compromised now. But at the end of the day, if that's what the people want, they're going to get exactly what they want. And I have to tell you, I think for the 12 or 13 or 14 or 15% of this great country that's black, for them, at 15%, if they can run ramshot, if they can run herd over the 67, 68% whites in this great United States and the 15% of the black community, and I don't think it's the total 15%, maybe half, maybe 6, 7, 8%. If you've got 6, 7, 8% going to run herd over the 67, 68% white and say, hey, listen, we don't want that. We're not going to have it. And then when the white people say, hey, whatever you black folks want, that's what we're going to do. We're not trying to create a problem. We're not trying to create any kind of disturbance. They're going to say, if that's what you black people want, that's what you're going to have. And I think once it catches on to football, it's going to go to basketball. It's going to go to baseball. It's going to go to hockey. It's going to go to golf. And the vast majority are white people. But you're going to see how quick, that they'll back down and say, if that's what the proud black community wants. And again, it's not just the proud black community. There's probably 5-6% that want it that way. And I think at the end of the day, they're probably going to get what they want. And you're going to see a lot of these businesses even go to, we're never going to have owners again. We're going to have governors. We're going to have senators. We're going to have whatever the hell they want. Because the blacks at this point say, we do not want owners. And so I think the white ownership, rather than fight them, I think they're going to say, hey, let's go ahead. If the blacks don't want it, and even though they're the vast, vast minority, if the blacks don't want the owners to be called owners, they want them to be called governors or senators or whatever the hell they want, let's go ahead and appease them and call them what they want. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to find, and I've said it before, and I'm by far not a racist, I think you're going to see at the end of the day, if this doesn't get worked out, that you're going to see a lot bigger problems between the white community and the black community. Now, it started up there in the 60s and 70s. It died down. Everybody was somewhat happy. But now I think it's getting back to the point where some in the black community aren't real happy. I see where they had an editorial page dishonoring Officer Milton Green. He was shot in the line of duty. He was driven to bankruptcy by the department he served. Now, he's a black police officer. Now, he's saying that it was because of racial situations that he got shot in the arm. Now, and he's saying in this big article, if I'd have been a white guy, it never would have happened that way. Now, his lawyers say that in his neighborhood that he shared the driveway, and he was alerted to a sound of a nearby car crash. He got out there and identified himself as a police officer, and somebody came to the one of the police officers in a uniform came and said, hey, you are a police officer, so it's okay. But now, having said that, then all of a sudden, the suspect ran away, but another pursuing officer ordered Green once again to drop his weapon and get on the ground. Green complied while declaring himself a police officer, the lawsuit said. Once identified, man stood up, but Officer Tanner then arrived, another white officer, allegedly shouting at Green to drop his weapon while simultaneously shooting him in the arm. It says here, did Green's race play a role in the shooting? It certainly appears so. I don't know why they would think because the man is black, if he's a police officer and he's identified himself as a police officer and the other police officers know he's a police officer, what would that have anything to do with it? I think if anything else, I think this officer, Christopher Tanner, I think he shot at Green, told him to drop his gun. And as he was dropping his gun, he shot him in the arm anyway. And it says again, did Green's race play a role in the shooting? And it says, it certainly appears that it did. The circuit attorney, Kimberly Gardner, Again, she's stated that she's growing a bigger and bigger list of officers whose apparent bias and credibility problems would make their testimony unusable in any criminal prosecutions. Against that backdrop, the two fleeing suspects in the Greens case faced a combined 31 felony charges in 2017. But Garner's office dropped those charges this month. Now, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? I don't give a damn what you do or you don't do. If you do something wrong, you should be held accountable. But it appears to me that Kimberly Gardner, who I believe is under federal investigation, don't know for a fact, trying to find out, but I believe who's under federal investigation over this crap that's going on with the Greitens last year, I think she's kind of taking a little easy. I don't think she's doing everything that she can do, because I think she's backed off a little bit too, because at the end of the day, these police officers don't give a damn black, white, purple, green, yellow, blue. They're all doing their job, and you've heard me before say, when you put that uniform on, we're all blue. We're all officers of blue. Doesn't make any difference if you're light blue, dark blue, medium blue, if you're tan, you know, if you're Korean. I don't give a damn. If you're a police officer, you're a man of blue. And that's what we all ought to know. But I have to say, and I've talked to Rowder a couple of times, I honestly think that, and I think there's some hypocrisy in the white side of this controversy, but I also think that there's some controversy on the black side. But as always, if you do something wrong and you're white, then you're a white racist. If you do something wrong and you're black, you're just an activist trying to keep things straight. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand that. I don't understand where they come with this. If you're black, you're just an activist trying to do what's right. But if you're white, you know, you're a criminal. You're a white supremacist if you're a criminal. And it just amazes me how that continues to go on. But we'll have to see where that goes. And hopefully it won't take long to get all this crap squared away. I want to go out to California, and they have a rookie police officer in Sacramento. She died during a domestic disturbance. A 26-year-old police officer, rookie police officer, Tara O'Sullivan, died during the standoff. She was later pronounced dead at the hospital. I'm reading part of this. I don't have all the information on it. He said one of the officers said that the patrol car doors and protective vest couldn't stop the high-powered rifle rounds that this gentleman was shooting. And if officer tried to rescue their fallen colleague before the armored vehicle, their armored vehicle arrived, we would have had multiple officer murders. Now, you know, I think, not being there, think that to be true. But, you know, everybody wants to second guess. Everybody wants to say, oh, no, she should have come out and done that. She should have done this, should have done that. Now, you never know. When people start getting shot at, I don't give a damn if you're a policeman or not. You're going to make a decision that you think's right for you. Now, some will say, well, that's going to be go in there and get them. And I understand that. Others would say, I'm going to stand off for a little bit. I'm going to wait till there's more officers to see where we're at. And I say to that, that's good too. It just all depends on the mindset of the officer. It all depends on the situation of the officer. But it amazes me, said that the spokesman for the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department said many times deputies won't arrest low-level fugitives even if they discover an outstanding warrant, because the offender would simply be released again and a new court appearance would be given. And it says here that at the end of the day, the citizens are the one, the decent law-abiding citizens are the ones making all the sacrifices. And again, I don't understand the situation, but I do know that this was on page 5B of the Alton Telegraph newspaper, page 5B. Didn't make either one of the other newspapers in town. But I will have to say that one of the North City police officers. These are the police officers that have combined for the North County Police Cooperative. They're supposed to be, there was four or five or six officers when they started this situation a few years back, and now it's, I think, 12 departments. I think they've got 10 or 12 departments that are involved in it. But anyway, he said they came up to this this situation, and this Lansdorf, he was a gentleman that was killed. He formerly worked for the St. Louis Police Department for 17 years. He was involved in some charges where they say these police officers, this is 2 years back, these police officers took money and did work that they really didn't do. But at the end of the day, the prosecutor's office dropped all the charges, and I guess they dropped the charges and said, hey, if you police officers will go someplace else, there'll be no more repercussions. And I think that's what they've done. It says here, it was Vineta Park, Vineta Terrace, Charlac, and Wellston. Says since then, at least they at least doubled the number of cities that it covers. So these smaller police departments are smart enough to say, hey, there's no sense of having our police officers do all the fighting, take the chance of getting killed, whenever we can have this North County Cooperative come in. They know what the hell they're doing. And it says here that the suspect jumped up and pointed a gun at Lansdorf. Lansdorf, on his hands and knees, appeared to lunge towards the officer. The man fired from close range, and then he took off. So I don't understand, for the life of me, do not understand how this crap continues to go. Now, this was in St. Louis. This was in North St. Louis. You just heard me talk about the rookie lady. And this guy had been on the job 3 months, but he had been a policeman in St. Louis for 17 years, so that makes it a little bit different. But that just, here's two shootings, two killings of police officers in a less than a 24-hour time frame. Nobody says anything. Nobody gives a damn. Now, I talk about it, and I know some of you other good people will talk about it, but most of the time, it works for a day or two, then it's gone, and people move on. So, I say to that, I don't know why we can't continue to address it, to keep it, you know, out on Front Street. But a lot of the politicians apparently don't want it out on Front Street. They're talking about now there's a lawsuit seeking to rein in gambling terminals all throughout the great state of Missouri. And they've got the Platte County prosecutor, Eric Zuland, is fighting to keep all the illegal poker machines. And they're only illegal because the government at this point says they're illegal. Now, if the politicians throughout the state of Missouri decide to make it legit, of course, it just takes one vote, one day, and they can make it legit. But it says here in one of the counties, in Platte County, the court records, company officials say their terminals are not gambling devices because the outcome of each game is predetermined. That's telling you they know when there's going to be somebody to win and somebody to lose. Now it says Zoland sees it differently. He believes these sources of machines are totally illegal under Missouri law, and he's going to fight. He's going to fight the best he can to keep them out. It says a prohibition of such devices in Missouri has triggered alarm bells among lawmakers who have been weighing whether to expand gambling. Now, it says in December, Reardon made it clear to her board of directors that the agency wanted a piece of the action in order to generate revenue for education. Now, that pisses me off. I read through that. You don't know how bad that pissed me off, to say that it's good for to generate revenue for education. Now, Reardon and a lot of these other guys see that they saw a drop of $800,000 in revenue over a six-month period, and they believe that the machines are the blame of all this crap. So I don't know. It says we continue to see a proliferation of these throughout the state. They're starting up moving day in and day out to these smaller towns. They're trying to figure out what the appropriate way to move forward. And it says later this month, the Lottery Commission will be asking to approve a study seeking to show how the machines have diverted money away from state coffers. Now, it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight when this is all over about the poker machines, I believe. Now, I could be wrong, but when these politicians on both sides, when they start fighting, I don't give a damn what it's over. It could be over the littlest thing. When they start fighting, it ends up being a major, major situation. And I don't know if the great state of Missouri needs it at this point in time, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, is like getting shot in the head. It only hurts for a little while. Then you die and the pain is gone.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio. From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
This program intended for mature audiences.
The only thing worse than listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, is perhaps getting your head severed. But then some will say, it's a toss-up. Now, back to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
Who let the dogs out?
Was nice, the party was bumping.
Hey-ya.
And everybody having a ball. Until the fellas start the name calling. And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor one shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM, Insane Broadcasting at its finest, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
We'll be right back.
Yes, yes, we're not. Yes, we're not going to take it anymore. We've said that before, and we'll say it again. We've got some callers. Let's go ahead and take a couple callers before we finish up. Go ahead, Jesse. You're on the dark side.
Hey, Bob, you're talking about the police departments and stuff. There's a little community in between Country Club Hills and Jennings. It's called Florida Hills. Velvet Village has been doing that for the last 2-3 years. They've been patrolling there.
Who has now, Jesse?
Velvet Village.
Okay, they're not part of the cooperative, I would assume, huh?
I don't know, but the reason I'm touching on that and I'm saying that is because Delwood's got that cooperative deal going where they got them in there. You know, and the only reason I'm calling is because Florida Hills, they don't have a police department. Country Club Hills used to patrol there. Now they got Velda Village patrolling Florida Hills.
Velda Village. Okay, they may be one of the new ones in that group. I don't have all the new cities that they're encompassing, but I think there's 8 or 10 now, so I think that may include a Velda Village. What do you think?
I don't really know, Bob. I haven't done no research, but I work in Jennings, I live in Ferguson, and I'm very close to Delwood, so I see the different police cars and the different law enforcement agencies driving through and doing their job, but. Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think, Jesse? I'm an ex-police officer, longtime police officer. What do you think with these smaller departments? Do you or do you not think it'd be better to have one localized police department that handles everything so everyone that works for these various police departments would become a member of the one big police department? I think there'd be a lot more crimes solved, don't you?
Well, I agree 100%. You know, let St. Louis County take over all the communities, patrol all of them. Every officer that is a professional police officer and knows his job, knows how to do it professionally, keep them and get rid of the slums.
Now, you know what? I agree with you. Jesse, have you ever been to this Clay's Wellston Food Market restaurant?
You know what? I have not been there. I pass it because I've done work in Page Jail and all that. I've been past, but I've never been in there. No, sir.
Yeah. I just wonder, what kind of place is it? Do you know or have any idea?
It's like a convenience store, but a liquor store, food store. You go in, fast convenience store,
Well, I hope that all these police departments will wise up. I hope they'll all understand that it's time for a change. And I hope the good people of all these smaller communities will say, hey, let's put all of our resources together and become strong as one, because at the end of the day, if they don't, I think there's going to be problems down the road. What's your take?
Well, here's my thing. Not even a month ago, they were talking, or maybe longer than that, they were talking about trying to, combine St. Louis City and St. Louis County together. I say keep them separate. Let St. Louis City have their police department. All the city areas be all in one. Let St. Louis County be all in one. And Illinois, same way. Let all of Illinois be one police department. And even if you have to divide it up, but they all work together under the same scenario. I mean, as far as jurisdiction and what they do.
Yeah. I just wonder, Jesse, do you honestly think, though, that if all these smaller departments, just like Washington Park and Centerville and Allerton and Cahokia on the Illinois side, and some of these smaller areas, not only in North St. Louis, but in South St. Louis with these smaller police departments, do you honestly think that if push come to shove, that they'd be agreeable to everybody coming together, or do you think they'd want to keep their small little agencies together so they could be the big dog on the small block?
I say come together and then make the law enforcement in those communities much stronger.
Yeah, but what do you think about the politicians in those smaller departments? What do you think their take would be?
Well, Bob, here's my thing about politicians. Politicians need to stay out of the police departments and let the police departments run themselves and do their job.
You know, Jesse, I couldn't agree with you anymore. Listen, Jesse, thanks for the call. Thanks for taking the time. If we can ever help you good guys out in Ferguson or Florissant, don't ever, ever hesitate to give us a call.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much. You know, Jesse's right. It's amazing how some of these departments, even though they want to work together with other small law enforcement agencies, they don't want to, they want to work together with them, but they don't want to work along with them. There's a little bit difference. It's like the black and white police officers. I believe they all want to, the decent ones want to work together. They can hang together. They just don't want to live together. And that's not a racial statement. I think that's a real statement. I think I've talked to too many black police officers who say, hey, I like being around the white police officers. I like working with them. I like going out with them. But at the end of the day, I want to be with my people, just like most of the white police officers say the same thing. They want to work around the blacks. They respect the blacks. But at the end of the day, they want to be around theirs. That's like on Sundays, you go to all these churches. What do you see? You see all the blacks in their congregations. You see all the whites in their congregations. Now, there's some areas that they'll come together. But even if they come together like on a Sunday for church, they can come together for a Sunday on a church, but they're not going to stay together because they're just, it's kind of inbred. And I think it's still going on. I don't think it's half as bad as it used to be. And there are some people that are coming together, and whites are marrying blacks and blacks are marrying whites. And I have nothing at all wrong with that as long as they're decent people. But you'll find out a lot of times that they're not decent people, both on the white side and the black side. And because of that, you'll have people come together. People will meet in bars. People will go out. People will end up having sex. People will end up having babies. People end up at some point, I say some of them will get married, but even after a short marriage, they end up in divorce. And that's just not in the black community. That's in the white community too. But it just amazes me that, you know, this crap happens and the way it does happen. We've got some more callers. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the dark side.
Well, Bob, first of all, thank you for taking my call. And I strongly disagree with the idea of getting rid of all the community police departments, and let me tell you why. An example, my girlfriend had to call St. Louis County. She lives in unincorporated St. Louis County. Their response time was, they never showed up. We called them and said, no need to come after I got there.
How long did that take, Jeff?
She called at least. It was at least 20 to 25 minutes, and they still hadn't arrived. Now, I live in St. Anne. Our response time's under 5 minutes. Also, county has no community involvement. You might have an officer that lives 20 miles from where he's patrolling.
Right.
When you have local officers, in many cases, especially in St. Anne, our chief believes strongly in community policing.
Who's your chief contact?
Aaron Jimenez.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've talked to him a couple times back in the day, and I honestly think, don't know him well at all, but I honestly think that if all police chiefs were like him, this whole area would be a lot better off. What do you think?
Oh, I strongly agree with that. He was invited to this program they have with the FBI, invitation only for chiefs. And when he came back, that's all he talked about was community involvement. Or community policing. And when he took over, he instructed our officers to be sure you wave at your people instead of just driving around with your head in your... He's done a phenomenal job overall, and he is elected. We're one of the few communities that have elected chiefs.
Oh, okay.
But I don't want to go off too bad on the chief, but he'll never be invited to the FBI program, I can assure you.
hey, Jeff.
You saw him at Ferguson marching arm in arm with the protesters. That's bad leadership.
Yeah, that you know what? That is bad leadership. And I want to thank you, Jeff. Thanks for the call. And if we can help
you
guys
Bob.
Out anyway, don't ever, ever, ever hesitate to give us a call, okay?
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Go ahead, Kurt.
I think they should do away with these smaller police departments. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I would have to say there's probably a little more corruption in these smaller police departments. Maybe. I mean, that's just a theory of mine.
Yeah.
And number two, and not saying anything bad about the police or anything, but these smaller police departments, normally they accept, I won't say rejects, but the cops that have been at other police departments that maybe have gotten into trouble, and then the smaller police departments that they're having trouble trying to hire people. They give what they can.
Yeah. You know what, Kurt? I agree with you 1,000%. I think sometimes there's not these criminal police officers, but these second tier, I call them, second tier police officers, for some reason got in some bull crap trouble for something. So rather than try to be fired and go through a lot of crap, they just move to a smaller department and move on from there. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, you know, they have great intentions and this or that. But then again, this call yesterday, whether or not it was state county police officer responding to this call, uh-huh. I believe that's probably a one-man call. Would you say that responded to a check fraud?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's going to happen. It's going to happen, unfortunately, Bob, and unfortunately, it happened.
Yeah. You know, Kurt, thank you very much for the call. Thanks for the concern. And as always, I will tell you and everybody else, if we can ever do anything for you good people, don't ever hesitate to give us a call. Okay, let's go. Well, let's go. It's 10:48. Let's go ahead. We've got some more callers. Callers, please hold on. We'll get to you right after this break. We'll be back right after this break. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio, and as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, is like getting shot in the head. It only hurts for a little while. Then you die and the pain is gone.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio.
This program intended for mature audiences.
The Grim Reaper of radio, death, and taxes. Three things you never really want to experience. Now, let's get back to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio.
Like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom. Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome. Welcome back to the dark side. We've got some more callers, so let's go ahead and take them. Go ahead, John. You're on the dark side. Go ahead, John. You're on the dark side. Oh, we must have lost John. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the dark side.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
That area where that cop got killed there, excuse me, allergies in my throat. That's an A-Rab brand liquor store. So that A-Rab be selling dope to them niggas back and forth, dope, and he be willing to deal it. So him and that nigga, the cop and the nigga, the cop and the nigga got into it over when the A-Rab tried to put him up out of the store for cashing that bad check. That area over there is real bad, man.
Now, Joe, what's the town there?
That's Normandy.
That's what again?
Normandy. Normandy.
Okay, do they have their own police department?
They probably have the co-op police.
Okay, that's what it says.
Now, whatever that is, the police who service all the areas.
Yeah, what do you think, Joe? You think that's a good idea if it's run properly, or you think it's a bad idea?
Well, the cops got to become one with the nigga community over there. The cops just can't, because them niggas, they're not, especially if the white boy look weak, the niggas going to take them on. They're going to challenge them.
Yeah, you know what? We had that problem so many years in East St. Louis, but as soon as we let it be known, that... we weren't taking their crap. Things change. You think they'll change in your area?
No, it ain't going to change. The only thing that's going to change with me is me having a conceal and carry.
You know, Joe.
The only thing that's going to change for me is me having a conceal and carry and knowing the law behind it. Other than that, man, it's going to get worse.
You know, thanks for the call, Joe. I really appreciate it. And I think Joe was right. I think... And it's not just white officers, if the proud white and proud black police officers don't come together and take this situation and stop it, I think it's going to get worse for everybody. And I think comes a point in time where people can say what they want. But if you don't stop a situation before it gets out of hand, it continues to go downward and downward. And with it going downward and downward, you know what you're going to find. You're going to find there's going to be more problems. You're going to and I agree with Joe. It's not just a black problem. You know, there's a Hispanic people involved now. There's these Oriental people involved. It's getting to the point that most of these businesses, most of these taverns and nightclubs in the black area, not all of them, but a lot of them are run by the Muslims. Are run by the I call them towel heads, because those aren't the good, proud members of their community. You know, just like there's crackers and there's hunkies, there's niggers, and there's ragheads. There's a group. There's a bad name for every group. I just don't have the list with me, but I do want to say at the end of the day, we all need to come together. And I know a lot of times people will say it shouldn't. People say it shouldn't happen that way, but it does. And unless we all come together as one, the proud whites, the proud blacks, the proud Hispanics, men, women, black and white, and until we all come together, I think it's going to get worse. And I think Joe's 100% on. I think everybody needs to be ready for it. I don't condone any kind of violence whatsoever. No violence whatsoever, because violence gets you nothing but more violence. And I think that's a bad thing to have. But listen, it's about time to go. Where are we? Nope. It's about time to go, people. So as always, let's continue. Let's continue to unite. Let's continue to work together, people. There's no sense of people not working together. And if we do that, I think everything will eventually get better. If we don't, I think at the end of the day, there's going to be major problems between the races. I don't adhere to that. I do not adhere to that by any means, but I think when it's all said and done, if we don't come together, you're going to see major problems. Now, it may take 5, 10, 15 years, but it's not going to stop at the rate it's going. So that's why I tell you and everybody, let's try to come together. Let's try to work together, because if we don't, at the end of the day, it's not going to be pretty. As always, time to go, people. Appreciate the people who called. They didn't get through. Maybe we'll get you next time, but let's continue. Let's all continue. Proud white and proud black. Let's all continue to unite. Let's put the Hispanics in there, the good Hispanics. Let's put all the good races together and fight these asswipe, no good for nothing crap bums, these political, parasitical, perverted punks that we call politicians. And at the end of the day, as always, we have to come together and we have to do to them what they've been doing to us year after year after year after year. We have to destroy them, because again, they will continue to come after us, the decent, proud, white, black, Hispanic, Oriental, all the decent people. They'll come after, because see, they do not give a damn. So let's continue to unite to expose these ass white bastard political parasitical perverted punks that we call politicians. And at the end of the day, let's do on to them as they've been doing on to us year after year. Let's destroy them. No violence, never any violence. Let's destroy them politically, of course, right here on the dark side.
All the way from Bootlip, I mean the Boot Hill of the Ozarks, Bob Romanek, the grim rapper of radio, with his brand new single, Nigga Nation. The grim rapper of radio will be performing at Snoots and More in St. Louis this weekend.
Word! This is not about the Emancipation Proclamation, but instead the low-life nigger nation. All the greasy, sleazy, violent niggers need immediate incarceration to save our great nation from extermination and annihilation through the perpetration by the nigger nation. All the nigger think about is demonstration and devastation. They got to say nigger this and nigger that, and all the good people think this is no more than defecation, especially when the nigger nation cries and screams reparation. A nigger phrase that means they want something for free, or if not, there will be a nigger congregation who in desperation will have criminal determination and expectation to destroy our great nation in violation of all of our laws. The nigger nation needs to quit selling all of the illegal deadly street medication and stop their impersonations of a porch monkey. This greasy nigger nation must finally get proper socialization and integration into a decent civilization instead of all of their thug intimidation. Why the nigger nation has an infatuation with violence and criminal association, no one knows. But if the nigger nation will act like they belong in our decent civilization, they will then get an invitation to be a respectful citizen instead of participation in all the violent confrontation. The nigger nation then needs to quit all that nasty fornication, popping out all those daddyless babies. Maybe the nigger nation ought to instead think about masturbation and copulation to the decent generation of both proud white and proud black population. The nigger nation will have a graduation from violence and then have a celebration, no longer being a low-life nigger of the nigger nation. If all this is done with proper determination, the nigger nation will then get vindication and a proclamation of dedication to quit being a nigger who wishes devastation on our great nation. But if there's any deviation from this dissertation, there will be ramification and then justification, not to give you a standing ovation or a paid vacation, but the ultimate criminal destination, a lifetime of incarceration. Now it's time for the breakdown. Nigga, and I don't mean Negro. Nigga, I don't mean black man. I mean nigga. Drop the mic, bitch.
This is Bob Romanek.
the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you've been listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Radical Radio, and we are, as always, proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha!
The Patriot.
Your First Amendment and All-American Station.
A division of Insane Broadcasting.
Renegade Radio.
KQQZ, St. Louis.